The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Israel may be signaling the start of a new phase of war with new airstrikes on southern Lebanon today. They follow a second day of electronic explosions targeting Hezbollah. The BBC's Hugo Bechega is in Beirut.
There was panic because many believed that no electronic device was safe. Hezbollah members stopped us a number of times, telling us to put down our phones, to not use our cameras.
More from correspondent Cammy McCormick.
The families of hostages held by Hamas believe attention is being diverted away from Gaza, and their loved ones will pay the price.
We, the people of Israel, choose the lives of the hostages. We don't want an all-out, never-ending war.
That's the worry of many following the attacks on Hezbollah's communication devices and Israel's resumption of airstrikes.
U.S. officials say Iranian hackers sent information stolen from Donald Trump's campaign to President Biden's over the summer. CBS's Nicole Skanga.
There's no evidence that the Biden team responded to those emails. The Biden campaign said it condemns any election interference in the strongest terms.
Former President Donald Trump hosted his first large rally since last Sunday's assassination attempt in New York last night.
These encounters with death have not broken my will. They have really given me a much bigger and stronger mission.
He also promised to deport millions of people who are in the country illegally. Vice President Harris spoke in an event for the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Institute.
How's that going to happen? Massive raids? Massive detention camps? What are they talking about?
Lawmakers in the House have defeated a temporary government spending bill tied to a mandate for proof of citizenship for Americans registering to vote. House Speaker Mike Johnson sponsored the legislation.
Congress has an obligation to fund the government, and Congress has an obligation to ensure that our elections are secure and fair and free.
The Lexington Herald reports a Kentucky couple behind the Hatfield and McCoy Museum are the ones who found the body of Joseph Couch, the man who allegedly shot five people on Interstate 75 this month. State Police Commissioner Philip Burnett.
The people of Laurel County can rest easy, much easier, knowing that this manhunt has now come to a conclusion.
Police in western Wisconsin say a 12-year-old boy used his hunting rifle to kill a 200-pound wounded black bear that was mauling his father near their cabin close to Siren. The dad came away with puncture wounds and cuts and needed stitches to reattach a flap of skin to his cheek. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Thursday is important for Wisconsin's hundreds of election clerks. It's the deadline to send absentee ballots to voters who have requested one. Plus, for municipalities that will be using ballot boxes, clerks can formally open them. Use of absentee ballots has surged since the start of the pandemic. You still have time to request one. After Thursday, once you request your absentee ballot, your clerk's office has 24 hours to mail it to you. Taylor Swift's endorsement of presidential candidate Kamala Harris may coincide with a 47.5% increase in Wisconsin voter registration. Taylor Swift endorsed Kamala Harris right after the presidential debate last week Tuesday. Since then, Wisconsin voter registration has seen an increase of more than 1,300, according to Vote.org. There is no evidence that Taylor Swift directly influenced this number. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers are playoff bound. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Lemons. Milwaukee clinched the NL Central and a playoff spot when the Chicago Cubs lost Wednesday afternoon. Then, the Brewers went ahead and beat the Phillies on a walk-off hit by Jake Bowers to cap off a huge day in Milwaukee. There's more to play for now for the Brewers, who will take on Arizona for four games beginning tonight to wrap up a seven-game homestand. The Packers have quarterback Jordan Love back at practice, but head coach Matt LaFleur said that Love is limited in his work this week.
He was limited. He was limited. take that however you want.
Love said that he's taking everything a day at a time as he works back from an MCL sprain he suffered in the season opener.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. I'm going to take the week and just take it day by day and see how it feels. But I'm not going to make any decision on that now. You know, I'm hopeful that I'll get to that point where I can get in there. But we're just going to, you know, take it day by day and see.
The Packers take on Tennessee this Sunday at noon. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Some could have heavy rainfall or be on the strong side. We'll have highs in the low to mid 80s. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms are likely. Some severe, lows around 60 degrees. For Friday, sunshine and a high around 79.
Currently, 66 degrees.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll be live on location from Cheese Days in Monroe. We will bring you all the action, yodelers, and more. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for The Todd Albaugh Show.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
The most unabashedly Wisconsin show on your radio dial. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06 on this Thursday morning, September 19th. Nice to have you here up north. This radio network from Civic Media and Up North News, a separate entity run by Courier Newsroom, are all about something called civic engagement, which by and large means, you know, voting more, but it also means just being more involved, knowing who's on your school board, getting other friends to vote, showing up at, you know, town board meetings more often to know what's going on, maybe making more donations or volunteering more time. And you can do that on your own, but it's always more fun when you do it with a group. And we're seeing more of that. The best example on this show would be Motherhood for Good. A group of moms that got together and said, we have to stop ignoring politics. There's weird things happening out there. Let's be more active. But they're far from the only ones. And coming up this hour, we're going to talk to some folks in a group called Northern Door Activism from Door County. And our friends from Motherhood for Good will be along as well, part of our Women Win Wisconsin segment, about how this group, mainly women, got together after the Dobbs decision and decided they had to increase their civic engagement. And so we'll check in with them. We're also shortly going to play some audio from a state capitol news conference earlier this week that lays out the ways that Republican elected officials and Republican law enforcement officers are intimidating local elections officials, trying to frighten voters, and trying to undermine confidence in Wisconsin's elections. So that all is coming up. Brittany Merlot is standing by with a forecast as well. But first, let's go on with the Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win contest. We do that four times a day here across the Civic Media Radio Network, where we give you a keyword that you text on the Civic Media app. And each one of those times, we pick one entry statewide at random. And the winner will get either $100 cash or gold jewelry, depending on what's up for grabs that hour. And then of all the entries, there will be one grand prize winner getting a pair of tickets. And these are indoor tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay on Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. The contest happens every weekday at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. You have to text the keyword in the app before the end of this hour. And one more note, you'll receive a response message with an optional way to click on a link to earn additional entries into the contest, but that, again, is totally optional. Remember, other Civic Media shows and stations are also taking part in this statewide contest. So if you haven't got the Civic Media app yet, get going. Here is this hour's keyword for some gold jewelry. That's the prize this hour. Gold jewelry could be yours if your entry is picked for texting the word democracy. And like any good spelling bee, let me give it to you, DEMOCRACY. Again, DEMOCRACY, democracy. Text that word. You'll be in the running for some gold jewelry and maybe some tickets to see the green and gold play a game in Green Bay in December. And again, your next chance will be during the 11 a.m. hour for the Go for the Green or Gold Tech to Win contest. Another beautiful morning. The windows are open here up on Lake Wissota. Hopefully don't need the air conditioner. I know it's still going to be a little warm, Brittany Merlot, but right now it's a little cloudy and it's very fresh out there. And I'd like that very much to continue, but, you know, you're the boss, applesauce. You know what the forecast actually says. So,
oh, that is awesome.
Good morning.
DJ what do we got? Mix DJ applesauce boss. Yeah.
Yes.
What do we got today?
Boss. Well, Pat, I am sending some showers and storms your way any minute now. They are headed towards the Eau Claire Chippewa Valley, also in towards Rice Lake, Superior, Wisconsin. That line is also down south into La Crosse. It'll be working its way more central throughout the morning hours. It'll start to fizzle out this afternoon, but then another line of storms. These could be strong to severe. Fire up mainly after 3 to 4 p.m. this afternoon off into the western parts of the state. It'll start to push in, and of course, we are in a slight risk for severe weather from La Crosse through Superior and into parts of central Wisconsin. We are looking at the possibility of some damaging wind gusts and also hail with this line of storms. In terms of rainfall, in some areas you could get near an inch, but the rest of us, for widespread, we're looking at about a quarter of an inch to a half an inch of rain. So as this moves through the overnight hours, it will hit everybody throughout the state, winding down by early tomorrow morning. And then we've got some sunshine right behind it. So in terms of, do you need the AC today? Yeah, you still do. Low to mid 80s still felt. We've got some of that mugginess moving in with that rainfall as well. So it's going to start to feel a little bit more humid. And then by tomorrow, with the sunshine, we're still hanging on to some warmth. You're still going to need the AC. In fact, you're probably going to need it till at least Sunday. Then we can shut it off.
Brittany, I just said I'd opened up the windows.
I know.
Clearly haven't looked at the radar for a little while here, and I just pulled it up right now.
Close
and
the
it's
going
to rain. I got to go around and close all the windows now, and I got to turn on the air conditioning a little bit later on. Why don't?
I'm sorry.
Can we just start to get you in here at, like, you know, instead of 7:07? Can we bring you in here at, like, you know, 6:07, maybe 5:07, just for a personalized forecast, so I know if I can open my windows or not.
Brittany, do you just want to take up in the guest bedroom at the Kreitlow house and give hourly updates?
We'll
on what's
set up
going
a little
on.
Weather station.
Right, that would be kind of fun. Do I get keys to the pontoon now?
I was going
to
say,
absolutely.
I'm in. Yes.
All right, I like this. We got this figured out. Brittany, thanks so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Well, I better get through all the headlines here so I can go back and close all the windows here before too much longer. Again, democracy is the key word that you're looking for in the Text to Win contest. Text us through the Civic Media app. And let's talk briefly, and we'll do it again at least once or twice more, about the Brewers clinching the National League Central Division title. They actually clinched it during the afternoon when the Cubs lost their game, but then the Brewers came along and they defeated the Philadelphia Phillies. Jake Bowers with a walk-off RBI single in the bottom of the ninth to beat Philly 2-1. And give, again, the Brewers that playoff berth by clinching the Central Division. They now continue to stay home for the remainder of the weekend here. Philly leaves. Arizona comes in. Four games against the D-backs starting tonight at 6:40. Pregame 6:05 across some of the stations here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And for the Packers, quarterback Jordan Love engaged in some limited practice for the first time since injuring his left knee, but still too soon to say when he will play, if he will play this weekend. Otherwise, Malik Willis will get the start, quarterbacking against his former team, the Tennessee Titans. 7:14 right now, and let's unpack some of the headlines by first acknowledging that what you're about to hear is, in my mind, a confession by a law enforcement officer to election intimidation. This is a state capitol news conference that was held day before yesterday. Congressman Tom Tiffany was a part of it. Fond du Lac County DA Eric Tony was a part of it. And so is Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt. who is about to outline for you how he intimidated every local elections clerk in his county to not offer ballot drop boxes, despite the Wisconsin Supreme Court declaring them to be legal for use. At the news conference, there was, from all of these Republican officials and law enforcement officials, the usual support of voter suppression tactics. And there are three of them here. First is to undermine public confidence in election integrity by continuously casting unfounded doubts on election integrity. Second, demonizing non-white voters, raising doubts about their legal status, or trying to intimidate legal voters by raising the specter of criminal penalties for voting improperly. And third, erecting obstacles to legal voting, such as drop boxes, get out the vote efforts, registration drives, absentee voting, and more. In this case, Sheriff Schmidt shows you how he has taken it upon himself to become Dodge County's legal interpreter, its supreme election law authority. You're going to hear him cast doubts on drop boxes based on his extreme interpretation of how the state Supreme Court and the Wisconsin Elections Commission provided guidance for using drop boxes. We'll talk about it here on the other side. Here again is Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt.
In Dodge County, I've worked with our clerks to make sure they have solid processes with ballot drop boxes. If they want one, they certainly have the right to do so. The Supreme Court has said they can have a drop box. But the Supreme Court has also said that every person who votes by a ballot drop box may only vote for themselves unless they're dropping off something, one for somebody else who can't get there. So what does that mean? Somehow our clerks need to make sure that that person dropping off a ballot in the ballot drop box, per the Supreme Court, is only dropping off theirs. How do our clerks do that? Do we have cameras taking pictures? Are we somehow making sure that the person that dropped it off is in fact the person that's on that ballot? How are we making sure that we're complying with the most recent Supreme Court decision? Our clerks in Dodge County have all unanimously made the decision that they can't do that, and they are not having ballot drop boxes. And I'm proud of them for doing that, because that's going to ensure election integrity in Dodge County, as it has been for so many years. I would urge other clerks across the state to ask those same questions.
That was not a legal interpretation or a defense of election security so much as it was a confession. That is a Republican sheriff taking it upon himself because of the apparent rampant voter fraud in his county. That's sarcasm, by the way. To take it upon himself to pay a visit to each local clerk and tell them how he sees drop boxes as still not secure enough. So, you know, do what you think is basically what he says to each clerk. And what clerk is going to say, well, gosh, Sheriff, that's a wild legal analysis, which you are completely out of bounds for doing. Now get out of my office before I call the Wisconsin Department of Justice and ask them to examine whether you are violating Wisconsin Statute 12.09, paragraph 2, which says no person may by duress impede or prevent the free exercise of the franchise of an election. Wisconsin law also prohibits anyone from intending to cause public panic or fear or the interruption or impairment of government operations, including the electoral process. Now, is any local clerk going to say that to Sheriff Schmidt's face? No. And that's why the voters of Dodge County aren't going to have access to drop boxes in November. Now, we'll go back and look at exactly what he said, talk about the interpretation, and then what Congressman Tom Tiffany and the Fond du Lac County DA had to say to further the attempts at voter intimidation on the other side of this break. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites, and making obese people pay more for health care.
and a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar. Something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Only a certain subset of the Wisconsin population knows exactly what this is, and Greg Bach wearing a Brew Crew shirt, I know that he knows. This is the walk-up music for William Contreras at Brewers games, and I don't want to get into a contest about who's got the best walk-up music, because it's this guy. It's Contreras. The song's called Narco by Blaster Jackson, Timmy Trumpet. And if that doesn't get your blood pumping every time he comes to the plate, nothing's gonna.
That is great. It was great, consistent walk-up music, and now I can't remember his name, the former first baseman who took over for Jesus Aguilar, Jeremy Thames. He played metal. He always played metal, and it was like the heaviest metal. Eric Thames, not Jeremy. Eric Thames.
Yes.
Like, I miss him.
Yeah, they're just some, and the nice thing is we get to hear more of it now with the Brewers heading into the playoffs after clinching the Central Division title yesterday. And again, we'll continue to follow Brewers as they finish out the regular season, starting a series tonight against Arizona. Picking up where we left off in the last segment on the Dodge County Sheriff and appearing at a state capitol news conference to give us his interpretation of the Wisconsin Supreme Court making drop boxes legal again, but not legal enough in his view. And so he persuaded local election clerks in Dodge County and local election clerks in some other counties, again, primarily Republican run, to not offer that service to voters. Let's look back at what the Dodge County Sheriff had to say. What he said is it's important that we know exactly whose ballot you're putting into a drop box when you go there. And so he wondered aloud whether cameras are needed at drop boxes to see what's going in there. And recall that Republican Senate candidate Eric Hovde has said that drop boxes should be monitored 24 hours with cameras, but of course, just in the city of Madison. And as we're seeing around the country, there is rising concern that vigilantes will take it upon themselves to harass people trying to use drop boxes. But here's the thing. Mail fraud is also a crime. Do we have cameras pointed at every mailbox? No, we do not. The crime is on the books, and if you commit mail fraud, you will be prosecuted. No cameras required, no Big Brother tactics necessary. Similarly, our election system in Wisconsin is run by 1,800 amazing local clerks, and it already has a system that checks ballots to ensure they are legally cast or mailed by people able to vote. In the sheriff's narrow interpretation, it means you can bring your ballot to a drop box. You can bring grandma's ballot to a drop box if she's infirmed, but you can't bring your wife's ballot to the drop box if she's healthy. And that is clearly a problematic piece of the guidance by the Wisconsin Elections Commission. But folks, welcome to the honor system, because it is nobody's job to read a ballot envelope as it goes into a drop box, just as it is nobody's job to read the piece of mail that you're dropping into the mailbox. There's no camera, there's no clerk standing next to a drop box 24/7. No vigilante gets to do that, and no sheriff gets to do that. Because it's Elections Commission guidance, not the kind of stuff that requires armed guards. In other words, returning, say, your spouse's ballot is the jaywalking of election ballots, and yet the sheriff and Donald Trump and God knows what kind of wackos are going to take it upon themselves to either harass voters or harass clerks. And since it's easier to pick off the clerks one by one, the sheriff's view has single-handedly removed a legal method of voting from Dodge County. So while the sheriff says he urges other clerks across the state to follow suit, I am urging other clerks to do what we do right in America, and that's to encourage legal voting by all legal means available. Your vote really matters, or some folks wouldn't be working so hard to keep you from casting it or having faith in the results. So another part of the Capitol News Conference dealt with a referendum that'll be on the ballot in November, seeking to clarify that voting is for citizens only. But again, this is already on the books. Yet Congressman Tom Tiffany never passes up a chance to frighten his constituents about immigrants, and so he was there to say that this measure has to pass because of non-citizen voting numbers from other states, and it's really bad to hear him tell it, and here is how Tom Tiffany tells it.
I just say to illegal aliens that are here in Wisconsin and across.
Let's play the other one here where he talks about the SAVE Act and how bad voting is by not.
As we've seen stories break here over the last couple months from across the United States, Ohio, Texas, Virginia, Oregon, where there are people who are registered to vote in the hundreds, if not thousands, in some cases where they have voted. It is very clear that the time is now to get the SAVE Act passed and make sure that citizens are the only ones that are voting in our elections in America and in Wisconsin.
Well, I mean, hundreds, if not thousands. Let's see what the numbers really are. These are figures from an Associated Press review of state numbers. In Ohio, the Secretary of State recently found 137 suspected non-citizens on the state rolls out of roughly 8 million voters, and they've taken action to remove them. Do you know the math on that? How many non-citizen voters? It's not 2%. It's not 0.2%. It's not 0.02%. It's not 0.002%. It is 0.2% of the voters. So, I mean, swinging an election, huh? In Georgia, they found 1,634 non-citizens had attempted to vote over a period of 25 years, and none of them got through to register, much less vote. In North Carolina, in 2016, an audit of elections found that 41 legal immigrants who had not yet become citizens cast ballots out of 4.8 million total ballots. Again, that's 0.85 of the total ballots. So the scourge of non-citizens voting and possibly tainting our elections is not a thing. So what's motivating this? It's good old-fashioned voter suppression. I don't have time to play the clips for you right now, but maybe tomorrow we'll play another clip from Tom Tiffany telling illegal aliens, as he likes to call them, don't do this. Don't vote illegally. Well, they don't. And Fond du Lac County DA Eric Toney says that there will be more observers than ever because, how did he put it there? Presence will breed compliance. And if that encourages any sense of vigilantism, then shame on him as a law enforcement officer. Our Women in Wisconsin segment is next. You're up north.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
World Dairy Expo, a little over 10 days away, but how has the avian influenza in dairy influenced the number of cattle coming to that show? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. Laura Hirschlub is general manager of World Dairy Expo, and she says, well, they are exercising all kinds of caution when it comes to bringing in cattle from outside the state to Wisconsin. She said numbers look robust for this year's event.
In terms of our dairy cattle entry numbers, we have just under 20 head under 3,000 head entered for this year's show, which is very similar to where we have been the last years, which is remarkable to me. And then when we think about our trade show, we have about 600 companies that will be represented and having booths within our exhibition hall, Coliseum, and Trade Center areas. So it's really amazing when we think about those numbers all coming together. And I think it just speaks to how special, it's a one-stop shop.
Laura Hirschlub, general manager of World Dairy Expo, says any lactating animal that's coming into Wisconsin as a part of the show will bring with it health certification papers that guarantee they are negative for the high path avian influenza. October 1st through the 4th, World Dairy Expo, Lion Energy Center in Madison.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau is the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward. Our voting members set policy that guides the organization on the local, state, and national level, with the ultimate goal of helping farmers like you and me back home. You can make a difference by becoming a member at WFEF.com.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Farmers deal with a lot, including long days, stress, and fatigue. This is your reminder to take breaks, stretch, have a snack, and hydrate your body. Avoid farm accidents by keeping yourself healthy. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn how Rural Mutual supports Wisconsin farmers and prioritize safety on the farm.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
And she spent her career influencing young people and helping them work on their leadership skills. Melanie Miller, former 4-H Youth Extension Specialist in Dunn County, ultimately 4-H Youth Development Specialist on the statewide scene, has been named one of the Class of 2024's National 4-H Hall of Fame inductees. The ceremony happens Monday, October 14th in Boise, Idaho, but there is an opportunity to stream it online. Miller, the only Wisconsin laureate inducted this year. Congratulations. That's a quick update on what's happening in food news. More at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Some could have heavy rainfall or be on the strong side. We'll have highs in the low to mid 80s. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms are likely, some severe, lows around 60 degrees. For Friday, sunshine and a high around 79.
Currently, 66 degrees.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump, on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man. Losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, my union buddy Earl Ingram Jr. will join me in studio. We'll talk about the lack of a Teamsters endorsement. Plus, can the GOP keep the government open? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Here we are, standing on the brink of disaster.
We got plenty of that today on this Thursday morning, September 19th. Welcome back to Up North News Radio. Pat Kreitlow here. Kate Duffy over here as well from Motherhood for Good. Nicole off this week. Kate, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I will never get tired of the fact that you and the other Motherhood for Good folks get together and find new ways to engage voters, most recently with a new video that you put together and put up to, you know, again, give ideas for ways to talk to your friends about voting and about the importance of voting, which really is at the heart of all this. We've talked about increasing civic engagement, and it really all starts with taking that time. Even if there's 70% voter turnout, which people say is a huge number, that's still 3 out of 10 people not voting. There is definitely somebody, Kate, that every one of us can reach out to and talk about the importance of showing up on election day.
Yeah, it's so important. I mean, studies show that one of the most impactful things that you can do to help voter turnout is just reach out to the people that you know, which, you know, sort of seems like common sense. People trust their friends, their family members, the people they already know in their life. So if you reach out to those people, they are more likely to get out and go and vote. And also, you can be a really helpful resource for them, for helping them find races that are on their ballots, information on the different candidates. It's just the best way. And it's, you know, you can do it whenever you want, whenever you have time. You can text, you can call, drop on by, whatever you want.
And it can be an individual thing, or it can be a thing that you do with the group. You obviously helped put together the group Motherhood for Good. And today, instead of talking to a single candidate or leader, we're talking with people who formed their own group in Door County. Why don't you tell us about it as we bring in our guests?
Yes, I'm so excited to have these guests here. These are some of the ladies from Northern Door Activism who I'm excited to talk to because I've actually never met either, although I've admired their work from afar. I believe they started activism online in the Instagram space mostly around the same time I did in 2022. And they're up in Door County, and they really focus on activism and bringing community members together up there. So I would love for you guys to, I don't know who wants to start, but we have a couple different guests here and would love for you guys to talk about your group and how you got started.
Sure. Yeah. I'll jump in unless either of you want to.
Go ahead, Emma.
We started in 2022.
You know what, Emma? Before you do, Emma, let's introduce yourself. You're Emma Cox from Northern Door Activism.
That's right. I'm Emma, and I'm with Northern Door Activism.
And Emily, introduce yourself.
Yes, Emily Kranak, also from Northern Door Activism.
And Jocelyn.
And Jocelyn Villapando, Northern Door Activism.
So, Emma, before I interrupted you, Kate was mentioning getting organized about the same time in 2022. It seems to me there might be a common denominator there. Maybe a certain Supreme Court decision helped inspire this?
Yes, that is absolutely correct. That is when we formed, we put together in the span of 2 or 3 days after the Dobbs decision came out, a walk for women and for reproductive health here in Northern Door County. It was sponsored by about 40 different local businesses, and we had several hundred people in attendance. And after that time, we realized that there were some legs to this. People were asking us what we were going to do next, and what became a one-off event has turned into 2 years of events, bringing our community together.
Were you familiar with Emily and Jocelyn previously?
Nope, I didn't know
that. That's how this works. Is expanding circles. Emily, let's pick on you next as far as what inspired you, not just to get involved the first time, but to keep doing what you're doing.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I think like when I think about, you know, being an activist, it often feels very serious, and obviously there are incredibly important aspect and life threatening aspects to reproductive freedom, especially in activism in general, but I think what's been surprising is just like how much fun we're having as we're doing this. We're getting to know community members. All of our organizing members are mothers, just like Motherhood for Good, I imagine. So our kids are hanging out. And I think I've just been surprised by not only how much work and how much change hopefully we're making at a local level, but just like we're getting to know our neighbors, and it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Jocelyn, finally, same question to you as far as, you know, what inspired you and why you decided to stay involved.
Yeah. Well, my family moved up here from Chicago in July of 22. So when they were doing the march, I had not yet figured out who Northern Door Activism was. But my background is art and social justice in the arts. I worked with kids around creating social justice themes and then displaying art shows with the art that was coming from these themes. So then when I found out about, you know, that there are this young group of women my age, we all have kids, most of us have kids. It was just like an easy, I think I asked them, can I be part of your group? And then it's just taken off from there, and it fits. It's such a natural fit for all of us. We all have like these different skill sets that we bring to the table. So it's been a really positive experience so far.
I love that. And I think I can definitely relate, as I know many people in our community, about, you know, not really knowing what you're starting when you start it, but knowing you need to do something. And then it kind of takes on a life of its own, which I think is really indicative of the momentum of women being politically involved in this state and in this country, not even just like since Kamala, which has been, you know, like crazy momentum and enthusiasm, but since 2022 and really even going back to 2016 for many people. You guys talk a little bit about this term you call microactivism. Emma, can you talk a little bit about that to me and what you guys mean by that and how that kind of guides your work?
Yeah. So over the winter, Emily actually brought up this book that she had heard of or was on her list to read called Microactivism by,
Omkari Williams.
Omkari Williams, yeah. Thank you. and so we decided we would read this book. And it really inspired us. The whole idea of the book is to find out what you can do in small doses right where you are. It demystifies activism. It brings it down to a more approachable level, takes some of the intimidation factor out of that, and allows it to be, hey, if you make a difference for one person, that's great. That's important. If everybody can make a difference a little bit here and there, then that's something to build on. And those little teeny steps are what makes big change eventually. So that was our series this year. We've done small events in our community, community-focused events, based on that idea of microactivism. And they have been some of the most fun, I think, and really successful events that we've done.
Yeah, so that we talk about that a lot. I didn't know that there was like an official term for it and a book on it. Emily, I love that and that you brought that to the group. Have you found introducing that concept to people and having it be almost a lower threshold, lower barrier is success? You're more successful getting people to step up and get involved. And then I'm assuming they even then do more after they do, you know, one small thing.
Yeah, I sure hope so. So our first, well, I guess first I'll step back and, you know, we mentioned like, I think, and in microactivism as well, they talk about helping you understand what your own special and unique skills are that you can give back. And I think our group does a very good job of figuring that out. So, you know, Jocelyn, you mentioned your background in art and in installation work. Last summer, this was before the microactivism movement, but we were like, wow, we have this incredible woman who's done, you know, public art installations. We worked on an installation related to gun violence in our community using her experience and skills. And then for this first microactivism event, Claire White, who's another member, she has a background in fashion, but sustainability focused. And really thinking about like how to rewear clothes, how to, you know, reuse, upcycle, you know, all of this stuff, which we all know. I mean, she talked a bit too at this event and had a little presentation about just the dangers of fast fashion. So our first microactivist event was actually a community clothing swap. We did it in March when we figured there was not much else going on in Door County. And we could not believe the turnout. I mean, right, guys, people that we've never seen before, really just looking for something to do and some way to give back that was helpful, that felt like you were physically doing something. And I think that's also we're having an event tonight. We're partnering with our the Northern Door Pride group, and it's a postcard event. And I just think there's something about the tangible thing in your hand when you're doing an event, even if it's like you send five postcards, right? Mm-hmm. Or like, I haven't worn this beautiful sweater, let's hand it off to someone else. Like, I think the physicality of it, for me anyways, is part of what makes that micro activist work really meaningful.
Yeah, I totally agree. Mm-hmm. And so Jocelyn, you coming up from very blue Illinois, where you previously lived, to Wisconsin, which is pretty purple, but Door County, I think, is, well, also purple, but maybe trending bluer. How has that adjustment been for you? And how are you guys feeling about the vibe overall in what's happening up there and how people are feeling?
Yeah, it is interesting. I came from a place where I correctly assumed mostly that everybody I spoke to and came across was blue, was progressive, thought mostly the same way I did. So being here, there is this feeling of caution. I have friends that are on both sides. There's a little bit less discussion, you know, because you're kind of tiptoeing to make sure that you're not going to say anything that offends somebody, because it just is so much more purple up here. And then, you know, you drive around, or I bike a lot back roads, and there are signs from both sides. It feels very 50-50 up here right now. But it also feels like there are these movements that, you know, between like the Dems and our group, I've just lost my, oh my gosh. Oh, are we on a break?
No, not to worry. Oh, no, we were just going to, I was just going to jump in to say that again, it's these little conversations that you're having that you're not afraid to talk to anybody, because you can all still be friends. You can all still have a disagreement, but you make a difference, you know, on that one-to-one level. And taking nothing away from all the good progressive men who are out there, Emma, there is some, I've got a shirt that I had made up. It says Kamala and Tammy and Rebecca and Jody for the raises here. I have a feeling that you might already have one, or one's in the works, that says Kamala and Tammy and Kristen and Renee, talking about Kristen Lierley and Renee Popolam running for legislature out there. There's just something about having all these women supporting other women.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And having gotten to know Kristen over the last 2 years, we met her in 22. And she's kind of, she mentored us a little bit off the bat on how to get started. And then just being introduced to Renee, I think earlier this year, you know, the Dems and Indivisible Door County, another group up here, were like, you have to meet this woman from Kewaunee. She's so wonderful. She's right, kind of aligned with you guys. So getting to know the two of them, Kristen and Renee, on a personal level has been incredible. And I could not be more excited to vote for them. And then add on to that we have, you know, above them on the ticket, Tammy Baldwin and Kamala. I mean, like, I get goosebumps every time I think about that's the ticket.
We do need that T-shirt.
We do.
There's still time. There's still time to make those shirts. For folks who'd want to know more about it, they are on Instagram at Northern Door Activism. Their website is northerndooractivism.com. And I'm quite certain that if people are interested, it's, again, not too late just to start groups in your own area, however small, that you can either reach out to them, send a little fan mail, ask for some advice. But the same can definitely be said, Kate, as always, about Motherhood for Good. I am sure you are still hearing from people saying, what can I do from way out here in, you know, Grant County or whatever the case might be?
Yeah, and there's so many things you can do. And we're trying to post as much as we can. And I mean, you can go door knocking, or you can do phone banks. There's a lot of virtual events you can go to. You can do postcards, put a yard sign up. There's so many different ways to get involved. Yes. Just do something.
Just do something. Just do something. Love it. Kate, thank you so much. Emma, Emily, Jocelyn, thank you so much. Best of luck to you. Thanks for visiting with us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
All right. And when we come back, Dominic Salvio will tell us all about his brand new show, Afternoons, on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back after this.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Get ready to rock the vote at the Oktoberfest Get Out the Vote Extravaganza Tour. Be there September 19th at the Menominee Food Market in Eau Claire. Music by Tom Castle and Jerrica McKell. Other partners include Progress North, Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, Citizen Action of Wisconsin, and Our Wisconsin Revolution. The goal of the tour is to inspire and motivate attendees to volunteer for Get Out the Vote efforts and support organizations that need additional help to maximize their capacity and impact. Come together, enjoy great music, and fuel the movement for change. You must register ahead of time at ManaquaBrewingCompany.com under the Get Tickets tab. Come be part of the action. Get Out the Vote Extravaganza, presented by Minocqua Brewing.
That ignites the life I was always meant for.
Wisconsin's volunteers are making a difference in our communities every single day. Find the perfect volunteer opportunities for you at volunteerwisconsin.org. You can filter by location, organization, cause, accessibility, and more, all to help find the best fit for you. Go to VolunteerWisconsin.org or get in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center today. VolunteerWisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
Some big ideas being shared at the Cap Times Idea Fest in Madison. Civic Media is proud to be a part of it and will broadcast the one-on-one discussion with Liz Cheney. Hear why the former Republican Party leader does not support Donald Trump and more on Friday, September 20th at 7:30 p.m. Coverage featuring Liz Cheney live from Idea Fest, Friday night, September 20th at 7:30 on your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
So Thursday mornings normally bring us one Luke Mathers to tell us all about some of the great shows you can hear all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Luke is on a bit of a break. Last week we got to meet finally with Earl Ingram. And this week we get to meet with Dom Salvia of the conveniently named Dom Salvia Show, weekday afternoons, 4 o'clock here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Dom, it is so awesome to have you here. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me. Greg, good to see you as well. Pleasure to be with you guys.
Wow, it's awesome to have you here. How you liking the new gig so far?
Oh, man, it's been an adventure. Let's just put it that way. It's been so much fun. I've been lucky to have a lot of the Civic Media hosts come around. Kind of a Dom and Friends theme going on. Come and hang out with me in the studio. Had Matt Rothschild on yesterday. Earl's mm-hmm. coming on today. Pat, you know, I'll be hitting you up one of these days as well.
Absolutely.
I love to have these conversations and the banter with folks that are dialed in. Of course, we do the same thing. We take the guests. We'll get the political guests and the newsmakers. And, of course, engaging with the audience is really what I enjoy the most. And really having, you know, the community radio thing happening. And that's what really makes it a lot of fun for me.
Oh, without a doubt. And that's what I wanted to ask you more about is, you know, you've been doing radio for a lot of years here. And as you know, I can't even describe it as feast or famine. It's a lot of famine, 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 famine. Here's a good day. Famine, famine. You know, it's not, it has its moments. And yet there is something so alluring about it that keeps us there or keeps us coming back, keeps us involved. It's so personable. It's what I hear from you all the time when you've got phone callers. And so I guess the way to say it is, Dom, you and I are not young men anymore. And yet, why do you keep coming back? Why the attraction of having these conversations in front of a whole radio audience full of people?
You know, the radio for me is the medium. I never really, you know, when Kurt and I first kind of threw around doing a show together, you know, 13 years ago, if you could believe it, we started talking about a podcast. It was just a way of bantering back and forth, talking about issues that, you know, we care about as hosts and as friends. And so it ended up being, we ended up approaching iHeart and going onto the radio. So that became the medium. And nowadays, as you know, Pat, with all the streaming and the podcasting, there's lots of different ways to get that message out. But for me, it's really been about, you know, keeping, if I could be inspiring, if I could be inspired by the vice president, keeping the joy, having the fun, and getting a good belly laugh when you can. You know, there's, I've been saying it recently, you know, there's no guarantees. It's, you know, politics and life and in radio, there's no guarantee. So make the best of what you got when you have it, take the opportunities, recognize that there is a responsibility, you know, when you're behind that mic, when you are saying things and talking to people, words matter. We've seen that abundantly clear, given the circumstances in Springfield, Ohio, and the former president and J.D. Vance talking about these lies of the Haitian migrants legally here in Ohio. Those words matter. And to a small degree, what we do, what we say, and how we act, those things resonate as well.
You know, when you say words matter, Dom, I really want to pick one particular word, and that word is democracy, because that's this hour's keyword in our Go for the Green or Gold text to win contest. So if you text democracy over the Civic Media app right now, you'll be up in the running if you text it by the end of the hour for gold jewelry. And maybe you know, a grand prize drawing later, tickets to a Green and Gold game. Did I weave that in properly, Greg, as far as making sure we talked about the contest?
Just like butterscotch pudding, that was smooth and sweet.
great transition there.
Thank you. I mean, we're all about having the most awkward transitions in radio history.
If I may add to that, Pat, you know, at 4 o'clock when I start my show, I'll be presenting the word of the day as well. So make sure you tune in at 4 o'clock.
That's right.
Word is rhododendron.
No.
Just kidding.
But again, it's about the interactions. I always said, yeah. People are like, well, you're a TV guy. Well, I did anchor the news for a while, but I did a lot of radio before that. I've done nothing but radio since that, because again, it's about the conversations. Frankly, the best part of being a TV anchor was the conversations when people would stop you in the grocery store, or they'd stop you at a restaurant and go, hey, what's the deal with such and such? And I actually want to tie it back to something from the last segment where they talked about, what was the term, microactivism, where we're so focused on things going viral. We want this massive audience for what we say or do, when the real key, Dom, is those little conversations in a grocery store, or those conversations on a radio show, that can do so much more than any just one moment that goes viral.
Well, every little incremental thing, and it is about relationships, you know, really at the end of the day. And the nice thing about the radio medium that we do now, Pat, is that, you know, there can be instant response to the questions and the issues. On a television, if you're just presenting the news, you know, there's really no back and forth engagement in that. But really, it's about credibility. It's about, in my opinion, what I think, what I value, the credibility, being consistent. If you're wrong, you know, you admit it, you say it, you move on, you learn from something. You know, the older I get, the dumber I get, Pat. And I really appreciate the perspective. I learned so much from the audience. That's also been the other thing, man. They always started doing this thing. I didn't know who half the local legislators were. I was more of a national thing. Hell, we talked about, you know, business quite a bit. So, you know, the continual learning process has also been a lot of fun for me.
Oh, gosh. And amen to the older you get, the less I know. But it makes me appreciate all the more conversations like these. You can catch Dom every afternoon starting at 4 on Civic Media. Dom, great to have you here this morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Greg. Have a great day, man.
You bet. Greg, you're back for Matinee on Air, 10 o'clock.
Yes, sir, with Dr. Kristen Lyerly at 10:33 and sports and weather in the second hour, and 11 o'clock keyword for the Go for Green or Gold contest.
Oh, there's that contest, too. I know. We're going to tell you all about it over and over again so we can make a winner out of you. Our usual Friday guests, including former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. We'll also have Mark Jacob, Kia Vakil, and Dan Schumacher. Have a wonderful Thursday. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning up north.
93.5 The Tap. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe joins us at 11:33. Weather and wine with Brittany Merlot at 11:50. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
Werzer Builders invites you to discover easy living in their 55-plus senior condos conveniently located on Eau Claire's south side in the Timber Bluff neighborhood development. Enjoy quality custom units with well-thought-out floor plans, kitchens with center islands and granite countertops, charming front porches, and outdoor patios with pergolas. Units are two-bedroom, two-bath, come complete with appliances, and start in the 270s. Contact Werzer Builders today for lot availability and building details at info@werzerbuilders.com.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.